The fact that you are a father gives you great authority. And what we see in this model prayer, as Jesus teaches us how to pray and how to address God, he simply says, "Our Father." Now, this is my message to you, dads. Listen to me. This is my message to you. Don't be afraid to use your authority. I know that you live in a culture where you're being challenged all the time, belittled and demeaned. That is not what God has to say to you as a husband and as a father. What God wants you to do is be bold in your use of your authority, because your authority does not come from society. Your authority does not come from the government. Your authority comes from God Himself. And it is delegated. It is not authority that you create or that you come up with or that somehow you overpower someone to earn. Your authority is given to you by God. Many men in our culture today are very confused about what it is they ought to be doing and how they ought to do it. I'm here to challenge you this morning. God the Spirit and God the Son give authority to the Father. Now, that's an important statement. God the Holy Spirit and God the Son give, ascribe to the Father authority. God the Son and God the Holy Spirit are not lesser beings. God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit are co-equal and co-eternal. It is not that God the Father berates the Son and drives out the Spirit. It is not like that at all. They're co-equal, co-eternal. Think about the illustration in Matthew chapter 3, where Jesus, the Son of God, is baptized. In that illustration that is given to us by Matthew, we are told that Jesus was immersed in water by the will of the Father and the will of the Spirit. As a matter of fact, all three were very active in participation of that baptism. Jesus followed John the Baptist because John the Baptist was doing the will of God. And he was the forerunner and making the way for the ministry of Jesus. And the way that Jesus was identified with the ministry of John the Baptist was by baptism. And that's what baptism is about. Identifying with Jesus. In that case, it was identifying with God's work in John the Baptist. Now, you notice also, if you read that passage carefully, that the Holy Spirit came down out of heaven. You could see the Holy Spirit and came down as a dove and lighted upon the Son. And a great voice came out of heaven, which was God the Father, and he said, "This is my Son in whom I am well pleased." And so there's God the Son, God the Spirit, and God the Father, all involved in that. The Spirit quietly and gently alighted on Jesus like a dove. The Father voiced, maybe boomingly, I don't know, but very loudly from the heavens, his approval for his Son's action. Now, like our families, the Trinity is the eternal family with a Father, whom we call God the Father, a gentle mother-like person that we call Spirit, and an obedient child, Jesus. That's the original family. In the Trinity, it is not that the Father is autocratic and demanding like the Greek and Roman gods. Our Father Our God the Son and the Holy Spirit are three persons that make up one God. The Lord our God is one God, it says clearly in the scriptures. In the Greek and Roman world, as they worship false gods, those gods were semi-human and semi-deity. And they did terrible things to one another. They murdered one another and did all kinds of terrible things. And what you find out when you study God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit, that they're very different from these arbitrary gods who arbitrarily ruled over one another. Now, this is a mystery, I would say the mystery, of parental godliness. The child and the mother both want the father to have authority. Now, you know that that's not how it usually works in this world. They are not vying for a place of power where one's trying to overcome the other like it was in the Greek pantheon of gods. They are not attempting to overthrow one another's will, because you never see that in the Trinity where one person in the Godhead is trying to overthrow or impose his will on the others. That is not going on. The Spirit and the Son make the Father special. The Spirit and the Son make the Father special by exercising their will that He be the authority in the eternal family. Now, this is very different. This is very different than what we see in human occupation. This is the revelation, I think, of the Lord's Prayer. It is the answer to the great parental mystery. The Son says to the Father, Father, I want you to be the authority in our home. That's what He's saying there. Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed, highly respected, highly regarded. I want you to be the authority in our home. There's no power struggle in God's house ever. There has never been a power struggle. I can't say that about my household. We've had lots and lots of power struggles. Between myself and my children, between myself and my wife, between my children and the other children, between my children and my wife, there have been a lot of power struggles. You know what that's like. God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit never struggle for power. But what they did is God the Spirit and God the Son had a burning passion that the Father would have the authority. They ascribed to Him a special place. The Trinity models for us a godly home. When Jesus said, I want you to be godly the way I'm godly, I want you to be holy the way I'm holy, this is what He's talking about. Being transformed from what we used to be to what we are becoming and what He is drawing us to. Because make no mistake about it, God wants us to start living like Him. That's what godliness means. Adam and Eve and their son Cain are a model. They are a model of fallen nature, the fallen state of mankind in sin. And as a result of their sin, God punished Adam so that the pressure would always come crushing down on the father husband, Adam. And you remember what God said to Adam, because you have sinned and you have not done what I told you to do, every generation after you, as well as you, the man is going to provide for his family by the sweat of his brow, and the pressure's on, and the pressure hasn't let up. And so the father toils and is worrisome and works in physical labor, in some cultures more difficult than others, but certainly in all cultures. Eve was punished because she assumed leadership. She decided she was going to be the authority. And she sinned, disobeying God because God told them what to do and how to do it and what not to do. She took the lead role. And as a result, God said, in essence, your children will always pain you, which is literally what it means. Your children will always pain you. When your children are 50, there's still going to be a pain. That's true. See, I'm getting amens already. I mean, people have experience. They know this is true. It literally says in Genesis chapter 3, your pain in childbirth will increase. But that what that means is not just the physical labor time, but your whole life. Your kids are going to make bad decisions. They're going to do things that are going to be very disappointing to you, because that's the way the world's going to be now as a result of messing up God's plan. And so your children will always pain you in this dangerous fallen world, and you will be in a power struggle with your husband. And it says that in Genesis chapter 3. You will spend your life in a power struggle with your husband. Today, Christian families have the option of living like the fallen first parents or being transformed into a new godly home. You really do have that option. Or as Jesus put it again, be holy as I am holy. You don't have to live like the world. Children must learn to, this is important, children are to learn to want to do the will of their parents. This is what's different when you read the scriptures and when you read the description of God the Father to God the Son. The fact is that Jesus wanted to do the will of the Father. But because we live in a fallen world, we have old natures and old fallen natures, you don't have to teach your children to be rebellious. It comes with a package. You don't have to teach them to lie. You don't have to teach them to be disobedient. They've already got that down pat. And it came with the fall. Now, in order to teach our children to want to submit to parents and not just submit, this takes amazing parenting. It takes the power of God, the wisdom of a father and a mother, and the supernatural work of the Holy Spirit inside your child and in you. In turn, wives must want their husbands to be the leader. Now, there's a great cry against that today in our culture. A great cry. And men are demeaned by women. And women are demeaned by men. What you should understand, my Christian friend, is that is not from God. When we Christians accept God's command that the husband is to be the leader, the world screams and throws a tantrum. Revolution breaks out with shouts for equality and equal rights and equal power and so forth. God never teaches those things. Equal dignity, yes. Equal value, yes. Equal authority, no. But understand that there is a leader who holds authority without any revolution in the family. It is God. Who said this, by the way? Did this come out of sociology? Did this come out of current education? Or did this come from God? Listen to these words. The husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is head of the church. Don't throw anything. I know some of you are tempted. God said that. God said that. It's not popular today. Almost every wedding I perform, they request that I take out the part about obeying the husband. I understand, because husbands don't know how to do it right. And I'd probably say take it out too. Understand this. God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit are all three separate persons, even though they're one God. They are not a bowl of Jell-O. Each has his own intellect, his own will, and his own behavior. Remember when Jesus was agonizing with the Father in the garden, and he said, "Father, please let this cup pass from me. Please don't make me go through this agonizing death that I'm headed to." And he sweated great drops of blood. But he also said, "Nevertheless, Father, not my will be done, thy will be done." It's very instructive, I think, of what did not happen in that passage. You don't have the Father way up in heaven looking down at his Son who's agonizing about what's about to happen to him. And you don't see the Father, though he is quite able, roaring down with disappointment to his Son. You don't see that in the passage. As a matter of fact, what does the Father say? Reel it back in your mind. What does the Father say? He says nothing. Nothing. He lets Jesus come to what they have already decided together. It's already been decided in eternity past how this is going to play out. Fathers, there's no need to be overbearing and mean to be a father. There's no need for that. And the reason we're overbearing and barren and mean is because we feel our own weakness and out of control. The Father was not out of control. The Father is not self-conscious. As a matter of fact, that brings us to the purpose of authority. Why do certain people have authority? God gives authority to certain people. The President of the United States has authority over us. Does it say that in the Bible? Yes. Book of Romans. The mayor of our town has authority over us. Does it not teach that in the Bible? You know those little blue lights and red lights that come on behind you? And you start getting an attitude. And you get pulled over. Does that person have authority over you? As a matter of fact, that person is called in the Bible the minister of God. Students, teachers have authority over you because it's delegated from the parents. And only because it's delegated by the parents. Your principal has authority over you. The elders in your church have authority over you because it's explicitly taught that in the scriptures. Parents have authority over children. But not everyone has authority. Authority is delegated by God. He decides. And the scripture makes very clear, and by the way, I took the time to write out the biblical defense of what I'm just about to say, and it's on your pullout sheet on the back. The purpose of authority is twofold. And I demonstrate that many times from the scriptures. The purpose of authority is to issue justice and deliver the oppressed. That is the only purpose of authority. There is no other purpose of authority. It is so that God provides safety for you, and God provides for you what you need. Safety, security, and provision. Issue justice and deliver the oppressed. That's what authority is always about. The Father's role is the will of the whole Trinity. Earthly fathers, your authority is not arbitrary. It's delegated. It's not something you created. God gave it to you, and along with it, a lot of responsibility. It does not infer that you not respect your wife or your children, because you're not the ultimate boss. Whether you're the policeman or the mayor or the judge, the president or the parent or the teacher, you're not the ultimate boss. And what authority you have was delegated to you for a particular purpose. And the purpose of that authority is to issue justice and deliver the oppressed. God is always the potentate. So, fathers, the reason that you have authority, that is, that delegated authority, is because God wants to enable you to be the deliverer of your family, to protect your family, and to provide for your family, which is the inference of those two functions. These gifts of protecting and providing is how you love your family. This is why God has assigned to you a special place in the family. And just as Jesus has a special place in the Godhead, and the Spirit has a special place in the Godhead, and the Father has a special place in the Godhead, so it is true of you. But still, the Son and the Spirit carry out the agenda of the Father, no matter what. Always. Now, how does this apply to 21st century Christians? Well, if you can bear with me, I have some things that I want to set before you to see if you can agree. Number one, maybe you can say, I agree at the end, and maybe you can't. But number one, let us resist the blurring of genders and gender roles. Is that not taught in how God operates His family? God the Son always operates as God the Son. He doesn't become something else. God the Father always operates as God the Father, God the Spirit likewise. It is by God's decree and God's design that there be fathers and mothers and children with specific roles assigned to each. Now, congregation, do you agree? Secondly, let us define our member roles in our families as God has decreed. The father role is to protect and provide. Dads, that puts a lot on you to be the proper leader. Mothers, you have a mother role, just like the Holy Spirit has a role. And what is the Holy Spirit like, by the way? I mean, think in your mind what the scriptures say. What is the Holy Spirit like? Dare I say it? Quiet and gentle. Small, still voice. Always comforting. always caring, always nurturing. Now, the culture that you live in does not want you to accept that. But God wants you to accept it. 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 4 says it this way to women, mothers, and wives. Let your adorning, and a lot of women spend a lot of time in adorning. It takes a lot of time to paint the barn sometimes and fix the hair and do all the things that it takes to do to make yourself what you consider, whatever it is, presentable. My wife doesn't need any help. He says, let your adorning, all that makeup that you do, be the hidden person in your heart with an imperishable beauty of a gentle and quiet spirit, which in God's sight is very precious. Now, I just described to you what God wants you to be, ladies. I just described to you what God wants you to be, men. And just as Jesus sacrificed his life, you should sacrifice your life. It's not about what you want. It's not about selfishness. It's about you sacrificing your life to save your family. And wives, it's about you being nurturing and gentle, quiet. Do you agree with me? It wasn't as loud that time. I have a third point of agreement that I request. And that is, let us not demean or disrespect those who have other roles. Let us not demean and arbitrarily order our children around disrespectfully because we have rule over them. Here's something you should think about, parents, especially if you're abusive in how you talk to your children, how you treat your children, how you address your children. Because in the kingdom, the roles are going to get reversed. Jesus said, it's not going to be the same in the kingdom when you get there as it is now. It's not like you get a promotion and you graduate and you go to another place and you still get to be the parent. It's not going to be like that. So I encourage you to be kind with your authority. There's no place for yelling in a Christian home. No place. Unless the house is on fire, there should be no yelling in a Christian home. Yelling is demeaning. It's bearing down upon someone. All of us have done it. And sad to say, too many times all of us practice it. You never see Jesus doing that. I mean, think about it. We have a lot of data in the scriptures. Do you see Jesus doing that? No. Because we are to respect one another, especially those who are under our authority. It's not appropriate for men to demean or abuse women. It should not be ever named among us. It's an embarrassment to the Lord when that happens. But vice versa, the feminist model is not appropriate for the church. We're not in a power struggle. We're not fighting over who gets the power, who gets this, and who gets that. And it's not appropriate, my friends, to say, oh, you know how men are, in a demeaning way. Because you know how men are, dot, 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 and then you fill in the blanks of your latest complaint. That's not appropriate to Christians. The family in the Trinity does not behave that way, nor should we. We are not men. We are not chauvinist pigs. We are godly men, or at least we're learning to be godly men. And we're raising up godly men. And that's what this ministry is about at Beulah. I have another, if you can bear with me. It is this. Parents, let us work with God to train not just the behavior of our children, but the will of our children. The emphasis in the world outside Christendom is about behavior change, behavior modification, it's called. God has called us to volitional modification, to change our will, to change the will of our children so they want to follow what we say. Not so that we bear upon them what they must do, but so that we gently draw them along, reason with them, show them the way, model for them. This is what the Scripture teaches, and this is what is modeled by the Trinity. God the Father, the Holy Spirit being the quiet, gentle, nurturing one, and Jesus the Son, who never disobeys. As a matter of fact, Jesus always wants to do the will of the Father. That should be where you're headed, parents, is to convince your children by your gentleness, by your teaching, by your love, by building trust, by being a good father and good mother, so that your children want to follow you. Will they always follow you? No. We live in a fallen world. That's the time to be patient. Not abusive. There's no time for cursing and yelling. But we bear along with them. And you know, I found just in my own experience that sometimes the things I taught my children when they were young, it took them 30 years to come around. Oh, yeah, that was right. Or 40 years. Or has not happened yet. Right? Now, I have a recommendation to you. I have to close. But I have a book to recommend to you. And it's simply called Parenting. It's a wonderful book. And the author is Paul David Tripp. And I recommend that you get this. As a matter of fact, I think you should run out and get this book. And one chapter in this book is called Authority, which is what I spoke on today, of course. And I'm just going to read to you the overlying principle of what Paul David Tripp says about authority. Here it is. One of the foundational heart issues in the life of every child is the problem of authority. Teaching and modeling the protective beauty of authority is one of the foundations of good parenting. You see, if I use authority correctly, they're going to be drawn to what I say. If I use authority incorrectly, there's going to be a great, intense rebellion. We need to pray. Do you agree with this? Is this what the Bible teaches? It won't win you any popularity contests out there. As a matter of fact, if you go out there and talk about this, they're going to say, there's something wrong with you. You're not in the river and in the stream of culture. No, you won't be. But Jesus said, be transformed in your mind. Let's sing together a prayer. Can we do that? Can we sing a prayer and go home? Let's stand together and sing it together. This very scripture that we took up today, this is the Lord's Prayer. You know it. Pray it to the Lord in song.